What do you think about the Tchaikovsky imagination of the same topic? I mean, nur über die Sens.
Yes. Yeah, that's well. different settings of the same words are, I think, a fascinating study because, I mean, that's right. That's the test experiment, isn't it? If to make a test in science, you have to have a common factor. If you want to know how identical twins, what means identity in twins, you have to separate them and see what happens when one goes to America and one stays in the old country. And what happens is this, I can tell you. They both marry the same wives or husbands. They both own the same car. They both have the same... they both like the same music. That's what happens. But in order for that to actually be tested, you have to have some common science, some common field of scientific inquiry. Well, the common field of scientific inquiry in the elite, I mean, its counterpart, its equivalent, is different settings of the same words, and that's why that's important.
I mean, there's a great tradition of Tchaikovsky, you mentioned. He wrote a very beautiful Kennst du das Land. Kennst du das Land. And you know, he went to Florence, he wrote even a Florentian thing.
Pimpinella, that's right, in the Italian dialect.
And Glinka is the most interesting fact because he actually founded the whole Russian Romance by bringing back to St. Petersburg Italian models. And all the early Glinka songs, which influenced all the composers from then on, sound like Italian romances. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the greatest Italian song culture outside Italy, in the obvious manner, is the Russians.
It was the Russians.
I think that's right. One reason for my omitting them is that I didn't know that much about them. I could think of better, more compelling reasons than that. But the thing is, this history seemed to me not to have been written. I mean, when you kindly rang up and said, how about a discourse on Kennst du das Land? I was absolutely full of confidence, rushed to my shelves, but fell back defeated. I mean, where are the books on this topic? Well, there are none. You have to start again from scratch. So what we want is a history of music in Italy, from Italy, outside Italy, so to speak. And that'd be a great book to write or to have written and to study. Because it would tell us something about ourselves. I think it will.
Milton wrote a lot about music in Italy.
Yes, he did.
How much he was influenced by it.
Yes. What did Henry Law go to Italy? Does anyone know? I mean, all that century. It began with Shakespeare, like everything. It began really with Thomas More, who somehow acclimatized the Italian madrigal. Morley acclimatized the Italian madrigal and in doing so wrote tunes. I mean, pop tunes. You can sort of whistle and hum to this day. Now, I think that's a great achievement of Tudor England.
Because, Eric, what Zugsteg and all those North Germans lack is quite simply lubricated lines of tune.
Yes.
There's no tune.
That's right.
There's lots of nice declamation and atmosphere and
interest.
That's right. Well, yeah. There's melody, type of melody, but not...
Thumping, wonderful tunes.
The difference between melody and tunes was encapsulated by Beecham, who said things like, will it grind my body?
You have mentioned Benedetto Croce. You know that he was born here.
Was he really?
In Casamicciola.
Make a pious pilgrimage.
In Casamicciola, and he was saved when he was 8 years old from the terrible earthquake that we had here in Ischia.
No, they tell me.
L'Aquameno, and they said it. Yes.
I didn't know that. I'm glad to know it.
Casamicciola.
Croce has always been a great influence, and a great influence on English philosophy.
Aesthetic.
Yes. Collingwood, great English historian and philosopher, was an outspoken devotee of Croce. So it may be that in time, that influence also can be written up.
But that's what coming to Italy is like. You come and you discover that Croce was there.
I think that's true.
A Hamlet play and discovering all these phrases spoken that you didn't realise came from there.
Well-known quotations. Well, in a way, that was my theme. What we seek and find in Italy is knowledge. I mean, partly self-knowledge, but also one goes to the place to find out, as Goethe did, quite surprisingly, scientific fact. I think it's quite surprising.
Can you spoke about it, because I know you don't like them, but what do you think about the setting of Petrarch by Liszt? I know you don't like them.
That's right.
I think I didn't mention this. Again, the bottom of the list, really. He would, I mean, I think, what is it called? Angeline del Biondo. It may be the early song that I like. Now, that strikes me, that seems to me, and the Petrarch sonnets are sort of Italian, but Italian as Liszt was ever going to get. He compartmentalized himself into all manner of different nationalities, sort of Hungarian and Italian and German, and all there were all these Liszts. And I think every time he did it, he sort of lost something. Sort of diminishes his own stature. I never hear the complete Liszt. This is what I never hear. Mm-hmm. I somehow wish, except perhaps in that great song, Es muss ein Wunderbar. I knew it.
That's the best.
Yeah. The best.
I like.
Of all the people in the world, who was least likely to write to write the hymn of wedded love and marital fidelity?
Yeah.
Liszt. But he wrote it. He wrote it. Yes.
Colin asked whether Monteverdi knew Purcell knew his Monteverdi. How much?
Not my period.
It's almost as much of a mystery, if you like, as Shakespeare as it is. This is Purcell's music, which I think does owe so much to what we're talking about, Italian melody, and as I said, Monteverdi. I just wonder whether he had.
Yes. The thing is, there's a kind of secret subtext, a secret history of music. I mean, like, in a way, the Italian and Austrian fraternities of instrument makers, the Chapel Royal must have been recruited from Italian sources, but it's not well documented. Its masters, its teachers, I mean, what kind of composer was Handel? Was he an English composer, an Italian composer, a German composer? It's not entirely clear. But for the population of London at the time, he was just like Bronchini.
He was the Italian opera.
He was the Italian opera, that's right. He was an Italian composer.
And there was an almighty struggle for ascendancy between the French and the Italian schools of music. And if you liked French music, you weren't very... I mean, it was really very competitive. And so England and Germany stood outside both these traditions and got various things from each, I think.
That's right. It's how like us to stand outside.
But Old Rudy, for example, that's an example of an Italian made good, isn't it? In another culture and totally loving the country's music.
Yeah.
They exported their musicians, that's also true.
But it's headquarters.
Yes.
Headquarters is like Lords in cricket, it's where you go for instruction on the rule book, okay? And membership, if you possibly wear the tie, okay? That's where you go. And Italy is the headquarters, no one denies that.
At the time, also headquarters of the church, headquarters of the ancient world, headquarters of practically everything.
Yes, that's right. Well, it says it all in a nutshell. Anyhow.
Thank you.
Thank you.